you set out to do. Stand,
there's a cross for you to bear.
Things to go through if you're going anywhere. So alive, stand.
All the things you want are real.
You have you to complete, and there is no deal.
There's a midget standing tall,
and a giant beside him about to fall.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for social and political straight talk, on air, online, and on point. Get ready to join the conversation with your host, Ms. Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, November the 18th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, former Richmond Councilman Bill Johnson. How are you?
I'm flying, lady. Thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you for being here. And also with us is former Richmond City Councilman Marty Jewell. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you're here with us as well. And also with us once again is Clarence McGill. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
And also with us, haven't been here with us for a long time, is Dr. West. How are you?
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Well, good. And also sitting at our social media desk and roving correspondent is Antoinette Baylor. You want to say hello to everybody?
Oh, hi.
And working behind the scenes is Marcus Evans. Miera will be with us, and Mr. Free. Thank you all for being here. We want to invite our listening friends to join the conversation. Our phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at TanyaFree63975. I want to extend our thoughts and prayers to the surviving victims, as well as the family and friends that lost loved ones in last Thursday attack in Beirut and last Friday attack in Paris. Like I said, we extend our thoughts and prayers. It's a tragedy that is just unbelievable. Still, you know, it's headline news as it should be in the media. We've heard a lot about the attack in Paris, but very little has been said about the attack in Beirut, which was the day before, which was last Thursday. 43 were killed, over 200 were injured. Why do you all think there was such a lack of coverage with regards to that attack? I mean, your lost lab attack is an attack. Dr. West?
You have a bias towards certain cities and certain colors and certain perceptions, and Paris is going to ring more true to the people who are listening. You know, it's going to be akin to a New York as opposed to a Beirut. You know, Beirut is considered somewhere on the other side of the pond, have no idea exactly what's going on there, and so I don't think that there's the sort of affinity that you would have to Paris. Also, the media coverage is going to be that much more intense.
Well, don't you think it's a shame? Does it seem like that's racism? And when you pick a certain location opposed to another, a bombing and lives lost is humanity. Well, I mean, any way you slice it and dice it.
Well, see, the thing is that racism...
And 43 people were killed.
Oh, I understand that. But see, the thing is that racism is everywhere. I mean, we can't look at any prism without seeing that element involved. So the thing is that I think that we should take a moment and step back from just the fact that, and we know that there's going to be some racial element that's going to play in the sort of coverage, the slant, et cetera. That, so that I think that we should spend more time and focus on a number of issues that seem to be are being glossed over as the cable press and all of that tries to continue to hype a certain type of story. Okay. There's some things that are going on beneath this that we should really take a close look at.
Yes. Right.
Because you hear about the first thing, that it was a link to immigration, you know, and then it's a certain type of integration, immigration. Mm-hmm. But then, see, when you start thinking about, and then the Republican candidates are all talking about, no, let's stop them at the borders, et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
But if you look back, the gentleman who shot the people in the South Carolina church was not from Syria.
Correct.
Timothy McVeigh was not from Syria. You know, if you look at the issues of domestic terrorism, you know, I think we have a strong, there's not a strong link to anything that's being played out now, but in the minds of the people, you know, and the reactions that these candidates are getting, you know, tends to suggest that there's the Syrian issue, and that's the only issue, and they kind of forget about those other factors,
right,
which may well be race, because the people in the church in South Carolina were black.
Okay. Bill, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I kind of agree with Dr. West that it's the story, okay, because you've got the French who have been very passive in this thing, and now you have them siding with the Russians because they have been attacked, even though the French were attacked by domestic folk. These were young people within their own borders who did this. They may have gone to Syria or may have been influenced by that mindset.
But it's still ISIS.
It's still ISIS. Well, not really. You know, they may have been
French.
Trained by it.
ISIS, right. Trained by
ISIS. You know, trained by it or influenced by it. But these are folk who have been ostracized in France. And they have used this as an excuse to lash out and do more, which that's what Obama and everybody have been wanting them to do more. I think it's less racism and more social economic, because they have put these folk in these ghettos, have not allowed them to assimilate into the community, and they have been forced into one little area, and now they're beginning to lash out. They can see what ISIS is talking about. They can see how they have been oppressed by the West. And now we, and even when we listen to the news media, Obama should do this and he's not doing that and not doing the other. Well, wait a minute. This is a domestic fight.
Yeah, but what's the excuse for the media not targeting or not focusing on the same type of terrorism in Beirut?
Well, it's too easy to say the United States should be doing more. Like me coming and getting in Dr. West's household and telling them what to do and leading and telling them. That's not the way this is supposed to go. I think the president is handling it just right. This is so convoluted and so complex that there is no easy answer for that. The best thing we can do is step back, and it may not be our time to lead in this. We might need to pull up more folk.
Well, I would think if they're going to attack ISIS, they should attack ISIS regardless as to where ISIS is. Is attacking.
You
not
cannot
just, not just one particular.
You
country.
Cannot fight an ideology with bombs and bullets.
Okay,
you
okay.
can't do
and,
it.
And, that's what some believe.
And may I jump in?
I was just going to say, in reference to your question, you know, Paris is known throughout the world as a romantic city. It's also has been a long ally of the United States.
Right.
So many, many people died in World War II, and you know, people know the architecture. It's fine arts. It's a fine arts center. So I think it's a little bit more romantic, if you will, to actually report on Paris versus Beirut, as crazy as that sounds.
Okay.
I don't know.
Marty?
I don't know that I disagree with anything that's been said. In fact, I don't disagree with anything that's been said. But it goes back to the larger issue of American exceptionalism and this notion that somehow America is the big kahuna in the world, and we choose our own friends, and we tend to choose Europe over anybody else. And France is in Europe.
Right.
All right? And it is that very bias that's being talked about here that controls everything. And it controls media. And
right.
Media owned and operated by these very same people who control our thoughts through various means tend to favor Europe over Beirut, period. Sadly, the even larger concern that I have out of it is the fact that we, you know, how we talk every year about Martin Luther King's famous quote, the content of our character, not the color of our skin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the world's changed, and it has changed significantly since the 08 crash, such that our culture is being changed by the influence of big money.
Oh, yeah.
That owns our government, that owns owns our thoughts and everything else. And I say that only to say that we are now being valued not by who we are anymore, as much as we're being valued by what we got
mm-hmm.
or don't got.
Right. Well, you know, you sent me a very interesting article with regards to how the Republican Party.
Milliken.
Right. Yes. Yeah. If you would, in a few minutes, share that article, because I think what you were talking about, how the government is controlled by big money and the Republicans, how they do, I think it touches on that. It's a long article.
Yeah.
So if you can some kind of way give us a real quick snapshot. Let's go to the phones right quick. Oh, we got to go to the break? Okay. Which one?
Reggie?
Yeah, yes, Tanya.
How are you?
All right, to your panel. Carl Nelson and Dick Gregory had a very interesting show this past week where they point out that a lot of these people are former Republican guards under Saddam Hussein. And also people don't realize is that, again, when Bush and Cheney got together, Senior Bush book came out at a very interesting time if we will look back at the timeline. People seem to sort of realize is that they created this paragon, this mess, and then they expect President Obama to clean it up. First of all, the people out there that are bombing these areas are suicide bombers. You don't know who or what they look like. Second of all, what people don't want to see is that, isn't it amazing that when we had Missouri, we want to talk about terrorism. Let's talk about Oklahoma, the racist chant on the bus. Wasn't that long ago. Let's talk about Missouri.
Right.
Wasn't that long ago. And we know about the movie Spike Lee's come out with Chicago. But yet, we worry so much about what goes on with Europeans overseas that we forget what happened here in America, and that includes Richmond, Virginia. So, I mean, it just amazed me again. I mean, I'm sorry that happened, but we got problems here. How many young ladies have been killed under the hands of law enforcement, including a young lady in Texas that they just named a name, street after her, and a 12-year-old boy? And don't even start about the man and the little boy that was shot because the cops said that he was messing around with his woman. That he used his authority as a police officer to do this damage. We have big problems, but what do I know?
and to follow up on what Reggie's saying, when you look and talk about the attention that certain things are getting, in Chesterfield, they just arrested, three men who were trying to accumulate weapons of mass destruction, you know, AK-47s,
yeah,
grenades,
etc. To bomb black churches.
And to bomb black churches and synagogues.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear
about it. Yeah, in Virginia.
You hear about it.
But what do we know?
That's right. You haven't heard much of a pickup other than the fact that they waived the first hearing and there's going to be a trial.
And that intent was to start a race war.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To start a race war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this stuff has accelerated big time since Obama.
That's 20 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Reggie. We appreciate your comments. Tell everybody when we listen to your show.
Every Saturday. I don't want to kill the flow, but I'm going to say it real quick. Really enjoyed myself at the CIAA Championship, and I'm hoping that the panel there can tell the good mayor how we get economics through black sports and black HBCUs to bring money here. That's
okay.
A phenomenon.
Good.
I guess some people know how to do it, but what do I know?
Reggie, on that note, I think that the black athletes are beginning to become aware of their power. What was that? Missouri. President. Yes.
Yeah, Missouri. We're going to talk
and
about
they
that.
They say we're
right.
not going to do
exactly.
it. Okay, well, I hear your thunder, but it's a something whose time has come, because a lot of these universities and a lot of states and cities have built their economy
right.
on
our
the backs
players.
Of these
right.
Now
exactly.
they're coming into fruition, and these are young people, 20 years old and younger,
mm-hmm.
that's beginning to come into that economic strength. So I think our time is coming. So I don't want to steal Ms. Freeze.
No, you're not. We're going to talk. We're going
to
talk about it in a few minutes.
Let's
go to line 2.
Our time has long been here, and we'll talk about that later.
Line 2.
Hey, everybody, this is Afia down in South Cadillac.
How are you?
Hanging in there.
Yeah.
I just, first I want to remind everybody that Sunday the 22nd is the anniversary, 1 year anniversary of the murder of 12-year-old Tamia Rice.
Okay.
Where the cop has, and the DA are colluding to let him off, and Tanisha Anderson, who the cop has already been let off, but lest we forget and not say her name. But my reason for calling is to ask, has anybody heard any calls or offers of forgiveness?
I haven't, no. You're right. Mm-hmm. That's a good
point.
And
I wonder why we haven't, and why Black people are always expected to and so dutifully do. Just wanted to raise the point.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, too. We're going to talk about that when we start talking about Missouri.
Well, it's an important question.
Yeah.
Because, number one, they'll never acknowledge. To ask for forgiveness is to acknowledge fault.
Yeah, but I think we need to do our part. Like I said, we're going to talk about that when we're talking about Missouri, because they got results, and I think that we can learn something from them.
Well,
I really do.
I'm simply saying.
No, I need forgiveness with regard to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Paris. Oh, okay. No,
yeah.
I none of us have.
And mm-hmm. I think possibly the reason is that the long-term intent is to have a war.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, you don't need to get into forgiveness if you're about to.
I don't understand what she's asking. Forgiveness? Who forgive who for what?
Why aren't people in Paris
saying forgiveness?
Offering to forgive the folks who kill folks? We were immediately.
So you mean ask for forgiveness just like they did in Charleston, South Carolina, when that bombing? Okay, that's what she
meant.
In
every other instance.
Well, I think sometimes some people it takes them a while to get to that point.
Well, it was talked about this morning on one of the programs where when the reporter was talking to people about this situation,
mm-hmm.
that they were. A lot of them are understanding what happened and why, because a lot of these kids have been indoctrinated and have been contained in their own Gilpin courts and Wickham courts and their own ghettos, and they're lashing out. So there is an understanding, a sympathy or an empathy of why these things are happening. So it has been talked about, but nobody has talked about actual forgiveness, because the whole thing here is about how much resources and how many people we could put on the ground to go into the Middle East and start a ground war and try to wipe these folk out.
Well, let me ask this question. Would any of us at this point, if we were in Paris, be asking for forgiveness?
No.
Okay, that's my point.
That's just not the nature of these people, mm-hmm. that we're talking about. I said Europeans, did I not? That's number one. Number two, we Black folk in America are unique on the planet. That we would offer forgiveness without being first asked. And secondly, that we would use it.
Not
as some
always.
Kind of,
I think wait, people wait, in Charleston were unique.
Well, they are. But Charleston is not unique among Black folk. We offer forgiveness to white folks' aggression and abuse every day.
Okay. Well, I think
we got to take a break. We will come back. Tanya's Praise Break is sponsored this week by DNS Cleaning. The song is I Give You Praise by William Murphy.
Somebody said so the devil will hear you. Praise is who I am. Come and praise the Lord.
If you're the parent of a child with behavioral challenges that has been suspended, expelled, or just not able to make it in a traditional school setting, there is an alternative. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Grades K through 12. Call 804-321-2595.
Hi, I'm Chocolate Chip, and there's never enough time for everything in a day, and the last thing you want to worry about is having to clean your home or business. Let DNS Cleaning Services make it a little easier for you. We do the work, so you don't have to, and there's no job too big or too small. We offer full-service cleaning for residential and commercial properties, including floor cleaning, stripping and waxing, carpet cleaning, and more. Our staff is professional, courteous, and trained for the highest level of customer satisfaction. Call us today at 804-272-3138. That's 804-272-3138.
If you're the parent of a child with behavioral challenges that has been suspended, expelled, or just not able to make it in a traditional school setting, there is an alternative. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Grades K through 12. Call 804-321-2595.
Is there really a difference between anti-Muslim religious intolerance and Christian anti-Muslim intolerance? Both pathologies call for the extermination of the other. The Paris attackers are no different than the Christian terrorists calling for a race war with U.S. blacks.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
New time, 10 a.m. Eastern.
What is New Orleans Talk Network? It's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You. Get ready, because the conversation will be hot. And better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app, available on Android, iPhone, iPad. And you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide. That's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip again, and small behavioral health practices are working harder than ever. It's time for a new perspective. Healthcare commercial billing specialists can help you manage your practice, file your claims, and get you paid in record time. The first step is always the hardest. With HCBS Billing, we make it easy and simple for you to start. Thousands of providers are already getting paid on time. It's time you get paid, too. Sign up today at hcbsbilling.com or call us at 866-647-6267. That's 866-647-6267.
Reclaiming the love, WNXP 95.5 FM, Greenville's People Powered Radio. Reclaiming the love.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free, 844-321-1010.
We want the truth and no more.
We're going to go straight to the phone. Stuart?
Yes. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad to hear you talking about this today, because one thing you're not going to get from corporate media is the, you know, thought-provoking discussions that you have on your program. So
thank you so much.
It can't be emphasized enough why programs like this are very, very important.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes, because as to be expected, the way media is talking about this is the typical, this is a militaristic, anti-Christian, anti-American thing. Which brings me to something I remember hearing years ago. I saw a documentary, and they were talking to some former CIA agents, that were very candid about something they refer to as the backblow effect. That's what they called it, the backblow effect. Mm-hmm. And what that has to do with, they almost expect, rather, no, they don't almost expect, they expect, and this goes all the way back to the Cold War era, of course, too, when, for example, and also the Middle East policy, too, goes back to when, as we recall, when there was that hostage crisis with Iran. That was a backdoor effect because the U.S. policy in and around the Middle East and other places, they put these dictators in power. A lot of people lose lives. A lot of people got killed in Iran. The backdoor effect was that hostage situation. We had the bombing in Lebanon, another backdoor effect, to which U.S. involvement, its relationship with Israel, bias towards Lebanon, Beirut, again. We were friends with Osama bin Laden. We wanted to stick it to the USSR. So guess what? We end up with another backdoor effect. So you see where I'm going with all this.
Right.
And so what people need to sit back and take a pause, and with American people, and also the French people, I feel bad for them, but people are really going to have to start standing up and really speaking out about the things that their government is doing, putting their name on it. These people in a lot of these countries, whether it's the Boko Haram in Nigeria, that's another story. 2,000 people got killed, all because, much of this is related to U.S. policy in and around the world. So what these terrorists do, when they bring it over in our backyard, you're going to feel what we've been feeling, what we've been going through. And so people have to be very careful and very cautious about falling for the spin and ask the right questions. So it's good that you're having this conversation. I just wanted to make that point.
That's a good point, Stuart. Thank you for your comments. Go ahead, Marty.
Bill. I am extremely pleased and proud of President Obama, mm-hmm, for maintaining his cool and walking his road according to the way he see fit.
I agree with you.
And not allow the news media, they were just so arrogant and just, you should say this and you should say that, and it's supposed to be this and supposed to be that. And what gets me is the hypocrisy of it all, the arrogance of it all, to the point where we can be Christians, to the point where we were so fervent about being Christians, we would allow ourselves to be fed to the lions and crucified because of our faith and our beliefs. Shoot, man, you tell me you're going to do that, I'd have been a Hare Krishna jumping around with them symbols. But the point is, these folk, since the inception of time, have been Arabs and believe in what
they believe in,
and we're trying to call them barbarians and this, that, and the third, and you got to be against them and bop the boop. We need to understand that these folk have their belief, and it's a billion of them.
It being half.
You know what I'm saying? It is so arrogant and so hypocritical of the West, including Russia, who just wants to be, is in Syria to maintain that base he's got there. He don't want to see Assad fall because he's got his money invested in that. And he's got the Napoleon complex. He's fighting wars on three fronts. Yeah. Crimea, the place he annexed, and now he's down in Syria.
And oil is at the bottom of all of it.
And he about to lose his mind, plus the sanctions that's being put on him. They want Obama, but Obama, the president, he's just so smooth.
Yeah, because he's dealing with so many, especially it's really disturbing when you have our own politicians that want to make this a political and go into this radical rhetoric about not allowing Syrians or refugees in their state. Question is, like Stuart said, we need to ask the right questions. Can they actually do that?
No.
Right.
They can't.
Yeah.
No.
So, you know, they're throwing all this political rhetoric out there, and you get folks all up in arms. And that is really disturbing from the standpoint that it causes friction.
That's the political dog whistle.
Yeah.
Because they were doing the same thing with the Mexicans 3 weeks ago.
Right.
You don't want them in here.
Right.
Now you don't want the Syrians in here. You know, and then you talk about something, we're going to take back our country.
And if you look at the map,
who's cut you back from who?
Right. And then, like Stuart said, we got to ask the right questions. Okay, if you're not going to, if you're so throwing out this rhetoric that you are not going to let Syrian refugees in your state, what about the ones that are already there?
Mm-hmm. They show the map of the governors in the states that are opposed to immigration. And they're all the same Southern Bloc states.
Well, we got one Democrat in it. We got one Democrat in there too.
One.
Yeah,
and they can be just as racist as anybody else.
Sure. Right.
It's because you got that Democratic banner that don't stop you from being who you are.
Absolutely.
Very true. Go ahead, Marty. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, if you just look at the map, they're the same ones who, if you show the map of where they put in voter suppression, the same Southern states. The same Southern states that oppose the raising the minimum wage. The same Southern states that oppose the Obamacare.
Yes.
The same. They're the same crackers who are intent on advancing the white supremacy cause.
And keeping everybody else
keeping everybody else down on the farm.
Yes. Yes.
It's filthy, and we have to look at it from that broad base. Oh, we missed the point.
Well, like Stuart said, they're catering to their base, and their base is not asking. They're not asking any question. They're just running with whatever their Republican person, governor, or whoever it may be, is saying. And that's the unfortunate part. That's the very unfortunate part.
And it is unfortunate because we look at these folk, and the same people that they call themselves representing really don't agree with that. They really don't.
I think their lack of knowledge, and they do. They have not a clue. Well, they have not a clue. Mm-mm.
But you walk away on
but they're motivated by fear.
Give me your Medicare
and racism.
Card.
Come yeah, on, give me right, that. Right, exactly. Or their health care. Yeah, that's true. Let's go to the phone, Sunshine. Still there? Hello?
Hello?
Sunshine, how are you?
Oh, yes, I'm fine. I just got a couple of points I wanted to make.
Okay.
And I'm being serious today because I'm kind of upset. I mean, they were saying, like, governors shouldn't cut off that Syrians in. And I disagree. I think they should not let them in because we in the act of terror now. We don't know who coming in and recruiting kids to do bombing. And it's just getting mad.
Well, let me ask you this question. What about the ones that are already here?
Well, they're already here. Ain't nothing we can do about it but watch them if we know where they're at.
Okay.
And my whole thing is, this is terrorist attack. They come up some same thing they did with the Mexicans. But we got to realize, yeah, we the land of the free and all that, but we can't let everybody in. We can't support everybody. We can barely take care of the people we have here now.
Okay. All righty. Anybody want to respond to that?
Yeah. I disagree with you, Sunshine. We choose politically not to take care of those that are right here where we are. We have all the capability in the world of taking care of those in dire need in this country. They choose not to do it, and we choose not to push to make them do it. We choose. We allow ourselves to maintain this condition because we choose to sit on the sidelines.
Well, let me challenge you a little bit about us choosing to sit on the sidelines. In what way? How are we sitting on the sidelines?
Where are we going to our legislatures making demands?
Yep.
Where are
right.
we coming together like those kids in Missouri taking a stand at City Hall?
I'm going to say 75% of us don't even know who our legislators are.
That's his point. That's his point. We don't vote.
Right.
So
that was not always the case.
No, it was not.
We have evolved to a point of indifference that leaves us catatonic virtually with regards to what goes on politically in this country. And our politicians know it, and they take full advantage of it.
Go ahead, Sunshine.
You said we choose not to let for them not to help us, but why other people can come here and they can get anything they want, and they have done crimes against us and everything. It ain't that we don't, it's not that we choose to do that. They pick and choose who they want to give certain stuff to. It ain't like we don't want it.
I challenge, I vote,
and a lot of other people vote.
I challenge you, my dear lady.
And I can tell me, hold up, wait a minute. I'm just tired of all y'all would say we. Like we all blessed, lumped up together in a cup of hot coffee. Isn't that all us? We do.
That's
that.
True. You're right. It's not all of us. You're right. I agree with you there, Sunshine.
I've been voting since I was 18.
You're right. Not all of us. You're right. Go ahead, Marty.
I'm going to push back. I don't care about you shouting here. The fact is, I haven't met you at the Crusade for Voters. I haven't met you at the NAACP. I haven't met you with Raise Up for 15. I haven't met you anywhere, darling. And until we come out.
I got to be at hold up, wait a minute. What you trying to say? I got to be at every black event to prove something. I'm a working person. I have to work. If I don't work, I can't live up to that.
And I do understand that. I'm not really
talking. I don't have to go to every event. NAACP been around for years, and we're still in the same boat. So what?
Well, I'm not really talking about you. Let me clean this up for a minute. I'm not talking about you. I'm using the you in a general term that too many of us do nothing to cause people to concede to our wishes. We don't make demands.
Do you really actually go in the black community? Because I haven't seen you in public.
He does. He does.
I haven't seen you around here lately, though.
Okay, Sunshine, we got to take a break. Thank you for your comments.
God going to bless you. I serve on Richmond.
Too late for me to
I served on Richmond Tennis Organization for 16 years.
Sunshine, let me say one thing to you. I know how passionate you are, but we've got to be careful when we as black folks start a hauling about we and who we are for and who we against. These are our fights to fight a lot of these things. And when you talk about other people coming into their country, they have more nationalism than we. They have countries that we're doing business with.
We're going to take a break and be right back.
Shining on my heart, so you could see the truth. Then this love I have inside is everything it seems. But for now I find it's only in my dreams. And I can change the world.
Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Text ADVERTISE to 63975 or call 844-321-1010 to see how Freedom Marketing can put your business on the map for a lot less than you may think. Call 844-321-1010 or text ADVERTISE to 63975 today.
Has your health insurance changed, or is it about to change? Are you, or did you move to a different state, change jobs, get a divorce, get married, or have a baby? Then you know what? You may qualify for a special health insurance enrollment period for the affordable Obamacare plans. And to find the right plan, you can get free help right now from Health Markets. They'll help you choose the right plan from over 140 different companies, plus help you maximize your Obamacare free government subsidies. Why pay a penny more than you have to for health insurance? Call anytime, day or night, to learn more about the special enrollment period to qualify for Obamacare. Here's our number. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Not available in all states.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24-7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona. We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Dinah Washington to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contest and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Okay, we're going to go straight to the phone. Scotty on line one, how are you, friend?
I'm not going to complain too much, but very interesting conversation y'all having today. And you normally do have interesting conversations about issues that matter. And I appreciate that, just to echo the sentiments of the earlier caller.
Thank you, Scott.
I called in because I agree with a lot of what Sunshine had to say. And I'm a disagree with you, Brother Marty, on saying that we don't vote and all of that.
I never said that. I said we don't stand up after we vote. We don't stand up and make demands on our representatives.
That's right. Okay, well, if I misheard you, I apologize, sir.
Fair enough.
And I would agree with you, and I would point you to the Hillary Clinton campaign with all them black politicians. This woman ain't done. She has a history of backing policies and advocating for policies that have hurt our community, and she ain't offering us nothing. You know, it seems like her position is based on whatever the polls say. You know, or whether or not, you know, she is beholden to her corporate sponsors. And we got John Lewis and other black politicians taking her around to meet the children, the parents of murdered children by cops. And this woman ain't offered us nothing, not a thing.
Hey, Scotty,
so in that regard, I agree with you.
Hey, Scotty, can I ask a question? Because I'm the one that said, in general, we don't vote. You and I, and I have two elected officials here. We all know that the people that we are dealing with do not vote and don't register in general. So that's not rocket science.
I misunderstood who said the comment. I want to address.
I said that. Now, you know, I deal with a lot of folks just like you do, and the vast majority of the people that I'm dealing with, unfortunately, whether it's work or play, they're not voting or they'll skip elections, they're not registered, or they'll skip registration. So that's my point.
Yeah, what's your name again,
sir? My name is Clarence McGill.
Oh,
I'm one of the Syracuse. I'm one of the Syracuse 8.
Mr. McGill, that is not unique to our community. I live in a predominantly white community. My family, we go as a family to vote, not just my immediate family, but my extended family. We all go up there at the same time to the voting polls to vote. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of these white folks that live, it's about 3 or 4 trailer parks within a half a mile of where I live. Most of them are not voting, sir.
But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us,
wait a
black
minute,
folks.
Wait
I'm not
minute,
dealing
and
with
I'm
that.
Talking about us. Let me finish my point, sir. I'm talking about us. That we can be bashing black folks over the head because the vast majority of people in this country do not vote, and they have valid reasons of why they don't vote, okay? And the reason they don't is because they see that the political system here in America is utterly corrupt, that we have the choices between evil and eviler, and they're not going to play that game. But at the same time, I feel like, sir, that it, whether or not, and we have seen a movement in the streets since the killing of Michael Brown, and this isn't the last movement. This isn't the first time black people have turned out in the streets making demands on the system, and in this case, it's for police to stop killing us, for police to stop preying upon us. Those demands being met should not be contingent upon whether or not they are registered to vote, because they are paying taxes.
What you said, I don't disagree with. I'm saying that we can make a move in terms of this country if we show more volume in terms of a voting population. It's similar to what talking about boycotts, if you will. When
and I'm not disagreeing with that, sir, and that's why I support the movement that is ramping up called 1 million black conscious voters and contributors, because, you know, just to use the Jews, for example, they got, or I shouldn't say all Jews, because all Jews don't believe in the policies that's being pushed by the American Israeli Political Action Committee, but just to use them as an example, we don't have any institutions that are coming together and coming up with a policy platform and then, you know, forcing that on the Republicans and the Democrats.
Well,
you got
true.
Republicans and Democrats
that
go down to AIPAC and their conferences and kiss their rings and say, what can we do for you to get the Jewish vote and to get the Jewish money? And we need something similar, and that's what 1 million black conscious voters and contributors are doing. So we in agreement. I'm just saying, though, is that demands are being made, and it shouldn't be contingent upon us voting. But we should vote. But we need to establish a voting block instead of voting, you know, we're either Republicans or Democrats. Ain't neither one of those parties doing anything to address our issues. And I'll take the comments off air.
Thank you all again. I agree with you, Scotty.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
Scotty, tell everybody to listen to your show.
Please tune in to New Abolitionist Radio tonight on Black Talk Radio Network at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, where we make the demands that the United States government and the states need to stop practicing slavery as legalized by the 13th Amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Scotty. Clarence, you want to respond right quick? Did you have something you
want to say? No, I basically agree with him, and particularly, but I think we are agreeing and disagreeing, but we agree. But the major point that he made that I like, which I agree with, is a strategy. Mm-hmm. We do not have a long range or short range, but particularly long range strategy that deals with, you know, goals, objectives, action plans, and that is comprehensive in regards to all the our community's nuances.
Let me offer because you're so right. For 10 years, and I know you've heard me say it 1,000 times, the Crusade for Voters ain't crusading. The NAACP ain't CPing. And the Urban League, whose mission it is to lift up the economic lifeblood of the black community, ain't leaguing. Our community-based organizations are flatlined. Our leadership is all broke. Our political leadership ain't talking to each other. And if they are, they ain't talking about us. Clergy leadership, with rare exception, is missing in action. Our educational leadership is in shambles. Our business leadership is all splintered with six black business organizations in Richmond Metro. And our civic leadership is melting into the earth. We've got 44 schools in RPS. Half of them don't have active PTAs. And our citywide PTA organization is defunct.
Okay.
We are in trouble, y'all.
Okay.
And so your point is that, but to your point, I do see us bottoming out. These organizations are coming back.
The apparatus is in place.
Yes, okay. It's coming back.
All right, do this. Well, I'm going to go to line two and take Troy's call, but I want you to talk about the article that we talked about.
Yes, ma'am.
Troy, line two, how are you? Troy, you still there?
Going?
Good, how about you?
Pretty good. I've been listening to everybody. I think we're on the same course, but I think, you know, we try not to talk each other. But only thing I see is only way we're going to survive is true freedom and true unity. I don't know how it's going to happen, but we need true, if black people want to continue to exist, we need true unity because all these different ideas are not bringing us together. I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what it's going to take. But I keep on hearing everybody talking about economics. I'm looking for true freedom and how to really stay free in this system because this money is, we have money, but it's not unifying us. So like I said, I don't know what it's going to take. Are we going to see more young people get killed or truly come together or what? I just don't know. I just hear a lot of talk.
May I offer?
Get out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Troy. We appreciate your comment. Marty, go ahead. We got to go to break in a minute.
It's an excellent point, but it takes leadership, and we have to work in groups. Politicians don't care about individuals unless they got money. They only care about groups that vote. And tomorrow, I'm going up with a group of folks to Crystal City, and we're hammering out a legislative agenda for the General Assembly coming up in January, a statewide initiative. And so we're awakening. We're just late, but we're coming.
Well, black folk vote two ways. They vote as a block, and they vote with their feet. And 99... What I'm saying is we don't vote. We won't vote if we don't feel like we have anybody to vote for. We just let those other folk fight it out. We're just sent back. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when we have somebody to vote for or something to vote for. Now, I agree with Marty because I think the NAACP ain't CPing.
Right.
10 years. And my point is, how do we sit back and allow our votes to be diluted because they have legally gerrymandered the blocks that make sure those people who are in there now who don't meet us any good stay there.
Right. Well, my thing is this. We don't know how the game is played. And like I said, Marty, share a quick snippet of the article that you sent me. We're missing. We're not even playing the game. We're not even in, you know.
I forget the exact title of the article, but it was a it had to do with the invention or creation of the modern Republican Party and how back in 64, you had the presidential election between Nixon and, I mean, the primary between Nixon and Goldwater.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, Roger Milliken, who was a billionaire back then, who virtually owned the textile industry, used his money to cause what became the Southern Strategy, to get the right-wing Democrats or Dixiecrats to shift over to the Republican Party. That was done with the use of paid help through mega millions of dollars.
Right.
And it was all about maintaining control of the textile industry.
He got rid of the unions?
And get rid of the unions, right, and make it a what do you call it?
Right to work state.
So we got all the southern states are right to work states. It caused the demise of our unions as we know them today. And how that money controlled so many people for so many years,
yeah, the political
in the last 50 years, mm-hmm, just in the last 50 years.
And it was more than just that, because they sent those whole industries overseas for cheaper,
right,
labor.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't just hurt black folks.
That's in the,
right,
last,
exactly,
that's in the last 20 years,
yeah,
with globalization.
Right.
That was a whole nother way.
But when
paid for by a lot of money.
But when Roosevelt came out with that Social Security and they had to include us, that's when you started getting that shift.
No,
over.
Be careful. Be careful. Because when Roosevelt in 36 came out with those social programs, mm-hmm, including welfare, public housing, and all the rest, blacks could not get those benefits until another 18 years later.
They did, because we were under the table being paid, but they had to include us because it was legal not to do it. And that's when you saw people start to shit. I mean, that new Republican Party emerge in that way, because we were majority Republican until Truman. Republicans.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they started with this domestic program, you saw the shift.
Yeah, but it was more so from what he was saying.
But they demagogued black folk getting any benefits and try to make it look like, as they are today, that the blacks were the only recipients.
Hold your thought. We got to go to our Black Talk commentary, our friend Scotty Reed.
This is Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary. Currently, there is a heated debate going on in the USA concerning the Obama administration's plan to relocate Syrian refugees fleeing their war-torn country that the U.S. government and its allies destabilized through various proxies in the region.
Both sides of the issue seem to be reactionary and not thinking logically about the U.S. obligation to those whose lives it has helped to destroy and its obligation to keep its own citizens safe from would-be jihadis or disgruntled Syrians angry about the impact of U.S. foreign policy on their homeland. There is bound to be middle ground that has yet to be discussed. However, it brings to mind the issue of how the federal government can be so generous in helping Syrian refugees restart their lives with help from U.S. taxpayers while failing to do anything substantial to help its own citizens struggling with poverty and homelessness. One group that disproportionately suffers from homelessness is U.S. veterans. How has the federal government and states sought to help veterans who have also been ravaged by U.S. military interventionism that has resulted in large numbers of vets suffering from PTSD? By locking up an estimated 500,000 vets over nonviolent drug offenses who use various substances to self-medicate. To highlight this point is the case of a disabled U.S. veteran by the name of Christopher Lewandowski. Lewandowski served 3 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan before he was medically and honorably discharged from the Marine. Medical marijuana is highly effective for treating PTSD, and rather than take prescribed drugs that were destroying his liver, Lewandowski grew 6 plants to treat himself. The problem is he lives in Oklahoma, which has charged him with a felony and threatening him with life in prison for what amounts to less than 1 ounce of the plant. Do the Syrian refugees deserve help from the U.S. government? Yes, they do. But at the same time, there are U.S. citizens who deserve help and are not being helped by the U.S. government that helped to destroy their lives. For more news and views from independent media producers, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Calling all dreadheads, are you tired of your locks being dry, limp, and weighed down? Do your locks have an odor or you have unbearable itchy scalp? Are your locks thinning or falling off? If so, you need to visit Dreadhead Studio, offering full service lock maintenance, starter locks, kid services, weekly specials, and more. Try their online booking for your next appointment. For more information, call 804-601-8216. That's 804-601-8216. Or visit DreadheadStudio.com. Located at 133 East Belt Boulevard, Suite M in South Richmond.
This is Tanya Free. If it's Monday, it's time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani, 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM 1450 AM. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for 2 power-packed hours of news you can use, feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's get busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
WCLM 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM 1450 AM.
This is Tanya Free. Did you know that stroke is reportedly the 3rd leading cause of death in the U.S.? Recognizing the signs of a stroke and getting someone to the hospital quickly is key to reducing the damage. If someone suddenly loses the ability to speak or move an arm or leg on one side or facial paralysis on one side, call 911 immediately. Know the signs and act in time. Tanya's Medical Minute is sponsored by the Capital Area Health Network, the heart of the community.
Join Tanya Free and friends at TanyaFree.com.
Hi, I'm Brian Taylor with Send Out Cards. Send Out Cards is a card and gifting business like none other. This product will help you with prospecting. It will also help you with customer retention. Your friends and family will love the gifts and cards that you send to them. For more information on this amazing product, text Send Out Cards, all one word, 63975. Again, I'm Brian Taylor with Send Out Cards. Text Send Out Cards, all one word, 63975.
Change for once in my life. It's
gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them? Disregard a broken bottle top and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I know what you got to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free,
844-321-1010.
We want to thank Sarah. She sent us a text that she wants us to be on the air every day. So we have to think about that one. That's going to take more manpower and a lot more time, so we'll see. We'll go to the phones to Sunshine again.
Hello?
Yes, Sunshine.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to comment on saying that we don't try to make our demands being met.
Uh-huh.
And stuff like that. Well, I'm on, like Marty Drew had said, he was on Tenor Camp. I'm on Tenor Camp too. And there's a lot of things that they don't allow us to do, we can't do, or they don't have and there are a lot of organizations I'm in there, and they claim they don't have the money and all this stuff. We have to do fundraisers to get the money that we need to do certain things. And then we do have the money, but they're not allowed to let us get to the money. So what are we supposed to do?
You are so right.
Because I've been fighting this fight for a long time. We got money now they won't let us use, or we can't do it for this. Then they want us to do fundraisers.
You're right.
It's a headache.
You're right. Let me say that what she's talking about is HUD.
I'm with HUD.
HUD puts in place a requirement to have an authority. Well, that they put $25 per occupied unit in any of these developments into a fund for residents. But they put strings on and restrictions on how that money can be spent.
Yeah.
But your tenant council elected officers aren't, in too many instances, I don't know where you live, but in too many instances, they don't know what the regs are. They don't know what the rules are. And so they don't know how to spend that money, and they let the housing authority lie to them, when in fact, HUD regulation is so clear. If we read the regulations, you'd know. That it can be used for a wider set of purposes than what they're telling you. The other point, though, is you're right. With that money, you ought to be able to do fundraisers to do some of the things that that money does not allow. But the leadership is just broke. It ain't you. I was on Richmond Tenants Organization. That's citywide organization.
Yes, I know about that.
That's where the breakdown is, Sunshine. And I plead with you, the housing authority meets tonight at 5:00.
We got a meeting tonight at 6:00.
They ain't gonna be talking about nothing. Come down to the commission meeting at 5:00 on Charity Street. They're trying to kick out 40 families out of the scatter site housing, most of it in the near west end off Colorado, over near where your mom was. People have been living in those units for 30 and 40 years.
Yes.
They have been told just in a short period of time, you got to come up by December the 15th with $500
earnest
money. Come join us. Bring your neighbor with us. We're going to sit down and we're going to have a conversation with that commission this evening. We need you. We need you there.
Thank you, Sunshine. We appreciate your comments.
And thank you for your talk show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. You, Sarah, and everybody else that have been giving us comments, we do appreciate it. Thurin Cowell on line two. Hello, real brother. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing. The sister said, "What's a real brother?"
Good to hear from you. Good to hear from you.
We're a rare breed. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me back on the air. But great to be back. All right. Great to be back. I don't know what we're talking about first, but I do know that I side with President Obama in as far as letting the refugees come to the United States.
We're in agreement there. We're all in agreement with that.
Yeah, because, you know, Steve Jobs that started Apple, he's a Syrian. His parents were semi-Syrian immigrants. And, you know, these people, you know, we always assume that it, since they're ethnic minorities that they're going to vote Democrat, but, you know, that's not necessarily the case.
Okay.
True.
Yeah, some of them might start out as Democrats, but then they might turn Republican. You don't know. You never know.
Right.
But to just turn them away under the lie that because they're here, the ISIS is going to attack us, that don't even make any sense.
No,
Putin
doesn't.
Didn't attack them. Putin attacked the Obama-backed anti-Assad rebels, and they still blew up Putin's plane. So treating the refugees poorly is not going to win you any friends with ISIS. And so we can't fool ourselves by believing the Republicans when they say that.
Okay. Real brother, tell everyone to listen to your show.
Yes, we're on that in the mornings at 10 a.m. Okay. Eastern on realbrotherradionetwork.com. So you guys check us out.
Okay, early morning now, huh?
That's it. That's
all right.
It.
Wonderful. Welcome back then.
All right now. You guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Okay, you too.
Thank you.
You as well.
All right now.
Well, let's turn our attention right quick before we run out of time to the University of Missouri students that were successful with getting the president and even the chancellor resigned. They both stepped down. And this was an atmosphere where the students were dealing with all type of racial slurs. I mean, just blatantly, openly, they were, you know, just being racially, I don't want to say targeted, but just comments. And not only that, there were racist graffiti and everything written around. And the university, my understanding, is 70-some percent white and the rest, I guess, diverse minority group. And the president kept giving them lip service but wasn't taking any action. And they even had a student that went on a fast. The team jumped in with the protesters and everybody. I like the way they united and pulled together. And then the professors were also going to do a walkout. And I tell you, they brought about change like no other. And I just think that we can learn a whole lot from, you know, how they went about pulling together and bringing about change.
Well, this is one of the things I don't want us to be discouraged about, because our survival is not a race. It's a marathon. These are college students that protested and used their resources to bring about a change. And that's what we have to look forward to, that young kids today who are not afraid, they are unintimidated. You find a man over 50 when he walks up on a Caucasian, he may cast his eyes down when he talks. Young people, we've bred that out of our young people.
Yes.
They are no longer feeling inferior, but they know when they're being discriminated against and they are not afraid. And what is happening is more of us today can put the economic wealth behind them. We've got our young people that have iPhones and iPads and going to pretty much any school they want to, but we need to understand that we have to make room for their new ideas and their new strategies, like our fathers and me had to make I ain't marching nowhere. I have to go to work. I can't do it. But the young people today can afford to do it, and they've got a different strategy.
Right.
They're not afraid, and they got big lighters, and they will set your place on fire. Don't get it twisted.
Okay, I got to respond to that. Mark Twain said, "History doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme." And you said that young people today, we have a long history of athletic civil disobedience and boycotting. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the young people. Of course, I was involved.
Yes, you were very much so. Tell everybody your story.
Syracuse University. But the story is many stories.
Well, let me ask you this. How many, when you went to Syracuse, how many whites, was it 70?
Nobody. Sure. Oh, how many whites?
Yeah, what percentage was white and what percentage was black?
We had about 500 black folks in 1967, and there was probably about 30,000 students.
Okay.
But I was going to mention that, first of all, my book, The History, is The History of Syracuse University, Leveling the Playing Field, The Story of Syracuse 8. But the university dealt with black folks as far back as 1890. Syracuse was initially created to educate blacks, Native Americans, and women. Mm. So for the first year, it was 48% blacks, Native American, and women that graduated.
Wow. Mm. Didn't know that.
So the change came as the years went on, and we like to think we brought it back during our boycott in 1970. But let's realize, I was talking here with the doctor, Calvin Hill, 1966, he went to Yale. He had a demonstration. You're talking about University of California, Michigan State, Wyoming. I almost went to Wyoming. I'd have been in their mess. I can run, but I can't hide. So I was in Syracuse. We're talking about Michigan State. We're talking about just a potpourri of colleges that and universities that have had problems with black athletes in regards to academic equality. You know, as I state, my academic advisor was the tight end coach. All he wanted to do was to keep me eligible with football, tennis, and ping pong. So what we had to do and what I had to do my freshman year, I filled out my curriculum sheet in pencil. I let him sign it. I went back and erased it and put some decent courses down. This is happening all over, and this rings true with most of these situations. You know, what happened with North Carolina University, I think about a year ago, the same thing. They had a problem, and the black kid said, "Well, my academic coach is one of the assistant basketball coaches." So, as Mark Twain says, all this rhymes. The same problem. Now, what was so beautiful about the University of Missouri versus our story? Nobody, to this day, we have two contingencies in my era, to this day. We have the black and the white. And that's unfortunate. Even the chancellor at Syracuse University had a speech about a week ago, and he said, you know, we have differences, but we bleed orange. So that was, you know, a nice way of saying that we're still at odds. But the Missouri folks, particularly the coach, they asked the coach, and I almost cried because I wish our coach was like that. Mm-hmm. He said, if I had to do it again, I would do it again
right.
with no hesitation.
Right. Right.
That's right.
That was a heavy statement, and you're mm-hmm. absolutely right. We can learn a lot
oh,
from
yeah.
Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Because not only did the coach back those boys.
Yes, he did.
Back the
coach, the professors.
You know, the professors.
Yes.
The staff.
They were doing a walkout.
The
yes.
administration. At every turn, those black kids were supported because they knew the righteousness and the commitment of those kids.
Mm-hmm. What I've learned in my life is that when you stand on principle, they may not like you, but inevitably they will respect you.
Right. Yeah.
And we don't need to be liked. We need to be respected.
Exactly.
But
my point in saying that is that we've had to fight for everything we've ever got. Everything virtually black folk have gotten in
America.
That's
not going to change.
We've had to fight for. But what the hell makes us think otherwise?
Go ahead, Doc.
Well, I was going to say, going back to Brother McGill, when you look at what happened, the sequence, two things, the coach got on board, the rest of the team. It was the picture of not the black players, but the whole team
right.
holding hands.
Exactly.
And then they all said, we're not playing. And then they said, oops, we've got to pay whatever team is going to come in town.
Brigham Young, exactly. $1 million.
$1 million to break the contract. They said, oops, let's get back on board.
Hold your thought for just a minute.
Yeah, it's not black and white anymore, it's green.
There's too many of you right here. Brother, brother, brother. There's far too many of you dying. You know we gotta find a way to bring some love in here today. Father, father, we don't need to rescue me. War is not the answer. Hope's only love. Come to me. You know we gotta find a way to bring some love in here today. Picket line, picket sign.
Your Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
The Republicans are on Dr. Ben Carson's bumper for allegedly lying about getting a scholarship to West Point and for stabbing a friend many years ago. I can accept that conservatives lie. It's their belief that government services and protections be tied to their warped sense of morality that I have a problem with.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
New time, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, brought to you by Black Trade Lines. Go to blacktradelines.com and register your business or service. Black Trade Lines. Empowerment is only a download away.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add four more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next.
You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99.
Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package.
Call us right now, 800-610-3497, 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
You're listening to AMFM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
I know everybody realizes that a man works better when he works out his own bag. Can you understand that? I can understand that. You are.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free
844-321-1010.
Stan wants to know, have you all reached out to the young people in Missouri?
Yes, we have. We've reached out to the players and to even some of the coaches, so they do know our story. They do know we're available, and they've contacted us, but they haven't used us in terms of their solution, and they seem to be doing pretty well. So, and you know, we've reached out to VCU, and even though that's not an athletic boycott, but it is a racial situation, we reached out to Ithaca College. For those of you who don't know where Ithaca College, that's sort of a few miles away from Cornell in upstate New York. So, you know, again, these particular situations have happened over and over for maybe the last 100 years. The good doctor who went to Yale, I wanted him to say some things about his situation, but I'll just quickly summarize what happened at Syracuse University. We had a problem. You know, I mentioned the academic differentiations. We had a doctor who was a gynecologist that hated to touch black people, and he said it. You know, we had players that were not playing because of their race, because certain places you couldn't play black people, whether it's in Alabama, et cetera. And we wanted a black coach. We were denied that. Jim Brown came to our situation. He stayed for a week, talked to us, gave us the last night and said, think about this because your careers are going to be impacted. And when we woke up that morning, we said, we just can't take it anymore. We are going to boycott. So we boycotted. The New York State Commission, local and national, and federal commission came in, did a study during that time, and they said we were right. Ben Swartzwalder, who was the coach, he was sort of like the Nick Saban of the time because he won a national championship. He got the chancellor fired after the report came back from the Human Rights Commission. He was tight with J. Edgar Hoover, so he had us on the J. Edgar Hoover list. And so it just goes on and on. Everybody who knew Ben Swartzwelder, and you're talking about Larry Zonka, Tommy Coughlin, Floyd Little. I mean, they all played. He's got a bunch of people that played for him. They knew that he freely threw around racial slurs. Mm. There's no anybody that knows Ben Swartzwelder, he freely threw around racial slurs every day. Mm. So my point, and then they make a statue of him. So, you know, sometimes our situation of racism is trivialized by America because Adolph Rupp, staunch racist, Bear Bryant, staunch racist from Georgia, and Ben Swartzwelder and others, they have statues. Their particular character in regards to racism is insignificant in terms of winning games. So America's going to put a statue of you and highlight you, you know, regardless of how you feel about race. So, in essence, the university, eventually 30-something years later, saw our situation. Nancy Cantor was the chancellor who's now at Rutgers and said, we're going to correct this, so we're going to apologize to you officially. Now, some people, some white folks up there are still upset about that because they apologized to us in the middle of the field. They gave us our letter jackets. And the Syracuse University Press Publishing House started a book. So they started researching and writing a book. David Mark, pretty famous author, wrote the book, Leveling the Playing Field, A Story of Syracuse 8. And the book was released earlier this year. And I am planning to have a book signing February 17th for Black History Month at the Main Library.
You've had several already.
I've had several. We've had them all over the country. And so, but we finally are coming here to Richmond, and we're going to, you know, just discuss the book, and I'm going to have some other authors, black authors from our local area, and let them speak and sell their books. So it's going to be a, you know, fun thing. But I just, you know, want people to understand that there's been like hundreds and hundreds of demonstrations in regards to sports from a high school, college level. I mean, anybody that's played, I shouldn't say anybody, but most people that have played high school or college sports at a predominantly white university have confronted the same problems and the same issues that we speak about in our book. You know, and I talk to people all the time, and they say, yeah, that reminds me when I was in high school and so, I was there in the late 60s, and I had the same situation. So, you know, I want to make sure that, and I'm trying to do a lot of research on these boycotting civil disobedience demonstrations that relates to the athletic departments at these universities.
And see, the interesting thing about Calvin Hill at the time, he was a senior, I was a freshman, and I'm learning today from Brother McGill about the issues confronting Hill, and I'm on campus, so not only are folk, are black athletes being marginalized, the general community is being left completely out of the dark.
Of course. That's by design. That's by design.
And so that, you know, he was, you would have thought that he was the, revered as the greatest athlete that ever rolled through the university. And then to find out, and obviously there were political reasons, and he probably had to make some decisions that, you know, for his own benefit. But who knows? But it's interesting to sit here today, what, 40 years since then.
46.
You don't have to say that. But it's a long time.
Yeah, really.
That you stop and you say, wow.
I'm dead man walking.
That's it.
That is so, so unfortunate. And
let
the
me,
fact that.
Let me offer something, though.
Okay.
Because that's a remarkable story. And I know it's true. We all know it's true. There are earmarks throughout history that point to the way blacks were treated on these predominantly white campuses.
And still being treated.
Right now. That's right.
Right.
But here's my point. That the flip side of that is that look how long they took, A, to even include blacks on their football teams. That's number one. But then how much longer it took for them to get a black quarterback. And then how much longer it took for them to get a black head coach. And then how long it took the NFL. Meanwhile, all the while in the 50 years, black folk and well, the world was seeing the camaraderie of the black boys and white boys on the team.
Right.
They're hugging each other. They're whooping it up. The cheerleaders are going crazy. The fans are going out of their minds. I suspect that the visual of people seeing these black and white kids interact and
right.
these hordes of people mm-hmm. cheering for them has done more for civil rights and the consciousness yeah. of where we ought to be as a nation than anything else in the world.
Let me add to that. You know, okay, you have the Missouris. You have another situation at Buffalo where the team was taking the train up north. Down south from the north, and the Buffalo football players stayed at the hotel. But they were missing a couple black football players because they were saying, well, what happened to them when we got there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they stopped the train and they got off and went to somewhere else. So the Buffalo white players said, we're not playing. So they every year they do an anniversary of that particular situation because there are some good white folks out here
mm-hmm.
that understand righteousness.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, then you can go on the other side, University of Wyoming and the coach Lloyd Eaton in the late 60s, they just wanted to wear bands around their arms because they were playing Brigham Young, and they threw them out of the university immediately.
Mm.
So it's granted that's the late 60s, but that's happening now, you know, as we speak. So there seems to have been a good and a bad side to this versus in the old days it was just bad. So you are right. There seems to be some slow changing in terms of the white and the black players coming together. You will never forget your teammate when you play ball.
Right.
Everybody here that's played ball, you will never forget, and you will be tight with your teammate if you loved your team and loved your teammate. So that is so right in terms of what you're saying and what Marty's saying in regards to learning that particular message and the emotion of that message and taking it on to bigger heights.
Well, and that's only going to come about for people like you and the gentleman in Missouri stepping forward.
Oh, yeah. You know,
because like you said, how things look, you know, the whites and blacks coming together, everybody's cheering. To us, it looks like everything is you know, everybody's getting along and everything's okay, but we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. That's the problem.
There were a lot of tears because during our process, there were a lot of tears. People were saying, we lost a gentleman because John Gobble, because he knew he was going to be a superstar. And we all knew he was going to be a superstar. You know who's good on you, you know, yet you play exceptional. But Ben Swartzwater told him after three touchdowns at Wisconsin, when we beat them, and they were ninth in the country, we were in 10th in the country, he said, son, it's a short walk from the parlor to the outhouse, and you remind me of Jim Brown. And that was a negative.
Mm.
Because he wanted to change John's running style to be like Larry Zonka's, and he wanted to do that with Jim Brown, but Jim Brown didn't listen to too many people.
We're going to take a break and be right back.
Yeah. Coffee Black, coming through to bring you the latest in sports, celebrity, and entertainment news. Here's the sip this week. So Ronda Rousey attempted to defend her title this weekend and got knocked out. Like, knocked into last week. Dazed and confused. Game over. Lights out. Okay, I think you get the point. When just a few weeks ago she was being praised as the best to ever do it. How quickly we forget. I'm sure there'll be a rematch, but first let's get Ronda out of the hospital. Facebook is catching heat after releasing a safety check feature and a Paris filter flag after the attacks in Paris. Many are asking, why now? What about other attacks across the world? Well, do their families not deserve the filter or checking capabilities? Well, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook says they care equally about all countries. And on an ignorant note, strip clubs, King of Diamonds may be getting a reality show, following the moves of some of their strippers across the country, on and off the pole. I have a feeling it won't take long for this to get picked up by a network. I'm just saying. Check out more on my site, thesipwithcoffeeblack.com, and tune in next week on the new musicexchangeradio.com for The Sip with Coffee Black. No sugar, no cream.
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device.
On your computer.
In your ear. And interactive. It's new. It's innovative. And it's on your mobile device.
Android.
iPhone. iPad. And on your computer.
Take us wherever you go.
Because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Are you nearing eligibility for Medicare benefits? Then you know now is an important time in your life. Medicare benefits can be a complicated puzzle. You don't want to overpay for your Medicare coverage or get the wrong plan. Let Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. With one free phone call, a licensed insurance agent will help you select a Medicare plan that's right for you and your budget. If you're becoming eligible for Medicare, call today and learn how to get the most out of your benefits.
800-365-6303. 800-365-6303.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is the DBA or assumed name of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is an authorized insurance agency in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service and product availability varies by state.
Call 800-365-6303. 800-365-6303. 800-365-6303. That's 800-365-6303.
Check out the Tanya Free and Friends Rewind every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on the May We Help You Radio Network at MWHWRadio.com.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Before we go, I'm going to talk about an issue that really caught my attention, and these are the kinds of things, stories or articles that do not get a lot of PR. And, you know, we've been consumed with regards to the terror in Paris. And I've only seen one or two articles about this. This is an article with regards to
legislation that's being proposed that will allow banks and car salesmen to charge people of color more money than whites. And what really got my attention was there were a handful of Democrats that are supporting this particular bill. And, you know, we're always saying that, you know, we're Democratic straight up, but I've gotten away from that because we need to pay attention as to what, you know, whether it's Democrat or Republican are doing when, you know, that are in office and what they are standing for. You know, and this is a prime example of that. You know, they take us for granted and that they have our vote and they're in Washington doing things just like the Democrats are that are hurting us. So this, I posted it on my site, TanyaFree.com, so please take a look at it. They also have all the names of the Democrats that are in favor of this particular bill. Now, they're supposed to be voting on it, the article says, sometime this week. So I'll be watching it, and if it does go through, hopefully it doesn't, we will talk about it on next week. Now, you had a point during the break that this is already happening. Even though it may be already happening, it's different when it's legal.
Well, and there are always, unfortunately, there are always ways that the system can work around that. You know, that if when people go to buy a car, you know, it's amazing the number of different financing plans that the guy that goes into the business office that comes back with. You know, and there are all different criteria. So you never know. It's probably happening. It's good to think that there's regulation, but that regulation is probably not going to solve the issue.
And what she's saying is that they're going to relax the regulation.
Oh, they want to. See, they want to get rid of it altogether.
Yes.
Exactly.
And get it back to where things have been
all before.
Along.
Right. Exactly. And if you have it in cars, they're going to be doing it with homes and everything across the board.
Well,
you know,
look. SunTrust Mortgage is right here on Sims Avenue. SunTrust Mortgage, I thought, was a mortgage company just for this region, right? But it is for all of SunTrust nationally. City of Richmond, a majority black city, in 1998, gave SunTrust $26 million to build that facility. Ostensibly, they were going to bring hire employees. Well, they brought their employees from Henrico County when they moved in that place, right? You remember? Now, my point is, they got busted by the feds for racially discriminating against black mortgage holders. Fined them $436 million against us, our folk, right here in Richmond, who gave them $26 million, and we're still paying the bill. We ain't got to go nowhere else to find this stuff. It's right here. Again, what do we do about it? I say we shut down SunTrust Mortgage. But nobody, so far, when they hear this stuff, seems to get alarmed.
And that's a problem.
It's a problem.
It is a big problem.
Did the same thing. Wells Fargo did the same thing in Baltimore. That caused a lot of houses to go vacant, reduced the tax rate, and the city of Baltimore sued Wells Fargo for the loss of that tax base.
Right, but the thing is, if this bill goes through, there are no repercussions. They can do it without any repercussion. That's the difference.
Well, that's what the car dealer industry is.
Right.
Does that apply to mortgages?
That's what I'm saying. If you got the car dealer, so what makes you think that it won't happen with mortgages?
Oh, I'm sure
as well?
It will.
Right, that's my point.
Yeah. But so, none of it matters if we the people don't stand up and say, hey, look,
right,
I ain't letting you do this no more.
Let's go a little bit deeper. We need to pay attention as to what's going on in Washington. Because just think, this right here, we wouldn't be talking about it today had no one had reported about it.
Right.
And this is the kind of stuff mainstream media won't tell us.
Not do.
Right.
And this
is
the importance of having shows like this one.
Yes.
And when we start to talking about making folk aware of
something.
Exactly. And then a strategy of what are we going to do about it. And then we can turn things over to the NAACP and the Crusade for Voters to say, now we have a mission. This is something that
needs to be put
behind. Yes.
Well, I'm going to take it a step further. They gave the names of all the politicians, the Democratic politicians that are supporting this. We need to actually not put them back in office. Mm-hmm. NAACP, or all of us as a group, Make it known.
Target them.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far your reach goes as far as black talk shows in the city of Richmond or in the state of Virginia or up and down the East Coast. This is something where we have broken down so that we can come in on and zero in on certain important political issues. And because you've got so much reach, other people have so much, printed media have so much reach.
You can make a campaign of it.
Yes, we can.
Exactly, we should.
And the Coalition for Speaking with a United Voice, not one voice, but a united voice. This is something that's a new phenomenon where we don't take advantage of our opportunities to bring our issues to the forefront.
Right.
And it's stronger than you really realize and know. You've got folks sitting out there listening to you will never call in. But some of the things that have been said here and some of the things that we see, that we talk about, have come across that television.
Yes.
Don't think not. That's true.
I agree.
It might be helpful if you identify those Democratic.
Oh, yeah. We got them on the site. We got the articles on the site.
Well, you ought to do it. If you have the site, if you have the names, you ought to read
them. It's a whole bunch of them. It was more than 18. I pulled it up, and I said, okay, I'm going to read them, but it was so doggone many of them.
Then you should post it specifically as to who.
It looks like it's about 50 of them,
at
least.
That sounds about
right. 50 Democrats?
Yes. Yes.
In the Congress?
50 total. It was total 50.
In Congress.
Can you give the people a website to pull it up?
Go to my website. They can pull up the article. We had one Virginia Democrat that was on this list.
And that name is?
And his name is Gerald Connolly.
From where?
Northern Virginia.
I don't know it's Virginia. I don't know what part of Virginia.
Northern Virginia.
Okay, and I'm being told that Debbie Wassman Schultz is on here. And
DNC.
Yeah, head of the DNC. And, you know, that goes back to what Scotty was saying. You know, we are so taken for granted by the Democratic Party. They're doing stuff behind the scenes, you know, and then we vote them in office.
Now, lack of knowledge.
Exactly. Lack of knowledge. Exactly. But the Bible said, lack of knowledge, our people perish. Earl Bradley on line one.
Yes. How you doing?
Fine. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad that you finally acknowledged one point, which is a centralized base to be able to communicate. And WCLM is the only black station with this talk diversity. So why we have not galvanized to understand that has been, you know, perplexing, but I'm glad that we've arrived to that this can be the station, because it's the only one in the capital of Virginia, in the city of Richmond, that has a diverse talk show such as yours and others that get the word out. So let's start centralizing around this particular station and move forward as part of that strategy. I just wanted to add that part.
Thank you, Earl. I appreciate that.
And Earl, the key is support.
It costs
to be on these, to have printed media. It costs to have radio talk shows, and we should be doing what we can to put our dollars out front and behind our resources, our talk shows, and our printed media. We need to begin to do more of supporting our own.
Yeah,
and
we can WCLM 1450
has to be consistent. We have to keep pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, not just talk about it and see what happens.
We can make donations to WCLM
1450. Preston Brown
is happy to receive our money.
Yes,
we can pump it up like crazy to buy from those sponsors that come to WCLM, and you pump them up, they'll continue to advertise on his show.
That's right.
And he benefits. We all benefit. This ability to communicate with each other, because you ain't going to get it anywhere.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Then James wants to know if we would support a boycott. I know I would. I've been talking about a boycott.
I know what you're boycotting, James.
Black Friday. We would boycott Black Friday. I know I am. I'm going
to
do it anyway.
Black Friday.
But you said you're going out to buy TV.
Oh, yeah.
I'm exposure. You and Dr. West.
That's right. 4G.
If I catch either one of y'all out at HH Gang,
there's no way in the world I'd catch myself out there in that chaos for save $5. You got to kill me.
I tell you what, Marty. If anybody see Bill or Dr. West, I'm shopping.
Camp out over there. Camp out over there. Look for him.
But that's the kind of stuff that we need to do. Boycott.
Yes.
Boycott.
Until we do that, because the only thing that people understand, all our politicians understand, are dollars. That's it.
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
It's not
line.
Black and white, it's green.
No, it's these green. Absolutely.
These businesses that fund these politicians, they need to feel pain.
Yes.
Right.
Pain. If we don't exact pain, we are of no moment. No moment.
That's what makes the difference. An article that you were talking about, that's what they were doing, using their money to put in office or put in place.
And that's what the Koch brothers do.
Yes.
That's what all these mega rich people do. They buy a whole system of what they want to see in America.
Absolutely.
They don't just buy a politician. They buy a whole system of change that they want to place down in our midst. And we are impacting, don't even know where it came from. Oh, no.
And the only way we can make a difference is to start doing the same thing, using our dollars.
But
because once you start to impacting them.
It requires knowledge. If we don't know, you're going to walk passively away from it.
Absolutely. No question. That's for doggone sure. Oh, we out of time. As always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully hear. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. And also thanks to Bill, Marty, Clarence, Dr. West, Antoinette, Coffee Black, Miera, Jeremiah, Lynn, El Bravador, Antoinette, let's see, Roosevelt, Marcus, and Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. Remember to live life with a purpose.
Thanks for joining us for this installment of Tanya Free and Friends Talk Radio. Don't forget, the conversation continues 24/7 at tanyafree.com. Keep up with the hottest topics of the day. Post your comments, opinions, and more, all at tanyafree.com. On air, online, and on point. The views and opinions expressed by the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of the host and or this station. Tanya Free and Friends Radio is a production of Freedom Marketing, Inc. All rights reserved.